When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Today, we are enjoying a nice Thanksgiving by answering a ton of questions from our wonderful Patreon subscribers. They got some burning questions like a hot turkey, and we're going to answer them.
Whoa, yes.
Hot turkey.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Happy Black Friday.
Oh, yes.
We are rapidly approaching the end of the year, but we're trying to slow down.
We are.
A little bit. We're going to do a different kind of an episode today. It's nothing but Q&A, the mega mailbag.
I know.
We have a dozen hot questions, as you said,
that are really... We're in the hot seat to answer these
covering
questions.
Covering the gamut. And I threw in a special secret question that I want to ask you.
What?
At the very end.
That you didn't show me
that
yet?
That I submitted to myself, yes. So...
Oh.
And you didn't prepare for this. You didn't know anything about this. So now I've caught you unaware. You're going to be sweating bullets
I'm
until we get to this question.
Exposed in 4K?
You are.
Oh, no.
Is this podcast in 4K?
No.
I don't think it is.
1080p. Exposed in 1080p, 30 frames
Maybe.
Per second.
Yes. Wow.
Exciting stuff.
Yes. As you are listening to this, I am not here.
Yes.
I am in Japan.
Celebrating Thanksgiving abroad?
Yes. I don't know what I'm going to be eating on Thanksgiving Day,
You know what they
actually.
Eat in Japan? Oh, that's Christmas.
Huh?
I was going to say they
KFC?
KFC. But that's Christmas.
Maybe that'll double up as a
you
Thanksgiving.
You can have a fami chicky. You can carve a fami chicky instead of a turkey.
I'm going to be going buck wild on this. Fami chicky. Also chicky. This, I forget, I don't know what it's called, but the 7-Eleven chicky.
The pudding.
The Lawson's chicky. The pudding. All these things.
The pudding. Don't
so
forget
good.
About the pudding.
Yes. I'm going to be eating exclusively in a convenience store. It's going to be
I mean, if you did that, you would be a happy camper because the convenience store food is incredible. So,
There's a guy on YouTube, Mike Chen.
Yeah.
That was kind of his ballywick for a while, was like 24 hours eating nothing but a Japanese 7-Eleven. And some of the stuff he shows looks good. Some of the stuff doesn't, but he always has this big over-the-top reaction. He's like, if you go to a Michelin star restaurant, one of the best restaurants of the world, I dare you to tell me that their food is better than this egg salad sandwich that I found sitting around the
back. That's one thing that you wouldn't eat.
You've gone too far now. You have broken the seal of trust that I was falling into.
You're literally hamming it up now.
Yeah,
we don't trust
bit
your
too
reviews
far.
Anymore.
So that's exciting, but the content shall continue.
Oh, yes.
Whether I'm here or not, that's a good note for you for when I mysteriously vanish one day. We have a video, speaking of Black Friday, helping you get the most out of the Black Friday deals that are out there.
Yeah.
They have begun. I have bought a few things.
You have,
I got my Silent Hill 2 remake for $30. That's a pretty good price.
That's a good price.
I jumped on that.
Game?
I got that. There's other stuff that I'm waiting for.
Sales are coming.
But
sales are here.
This will be a good guide, a good starting point for you to get save some money.
Yeah, whether
over
you're getting
the break?
Something for yourself
yes.
or something that you're going to squirrel away as a Christmas gift or a holiday
yes.
gift, perfect time.
Yes. We also, on the other side of the studio, We did a big vlog of us decorating very festively our studio, doing a little
bit. We do this every year.
Doing a little bit of shopping, getting some new stuff to again.
I'm going to surprise you. I surprised you too because I went to the San Francisco Nintendo store.
That's right.
To find some potential decorations. I didn't find any official ornaments, but I found some things that could be an ornament that I'm excited.
Okay.
I was excited to show it to you.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
That is coming out after this podcast, mere days. So you can look forward to that. Speaking of this, I'm now off the hook.
You are?
As I'm in Japan.
Oh,
because
yes.
you were just hovering over me saying, look, look, look.
Look. Snowman Mario.
In Japan, the stores are doing the Snowman Mario set. Please bring me back this bulky, heavy blanket. I was like,
no. Is that heavy?
No, I don't want to.
It's a fluffy, snow-like blanket.
Now you can get it yourself because all that stuff is going to be just at the U.S. Nintendo stores.
I should just trot on down to the San Francisco store.
Off the hook. Thank goodness.
I wasn't going to trust you anyway. You seemed very reluctant.
To do me a small favor to bring back a giant like
it could roll it up
Snowman Mario duvet or something you wanted.
You could use it on the plane
for your California King or whatever. Jeez, as big as it gets.
I can't wait to cuddle up in my Snowman Mario and drink my hot chocolate
out
of my Snowman Mario mug.
We have ants in here, and I have an ant. You have theories about where the ants are coming from.
I think it's coming from our air conditioning.
They're coming through the walls. You think it's coming through this air conditioning that we have. I don't know. Like
something is happening here.
They'll show up for a couple days.
We have a trap.
We'll get really worked. I'm putting a stop to this. I'm putting my foot down against the ants. And then they'll mysteriously vanish for a month.
They're out to get us.
Ants everywhere. My gosh.
They're out to get us.
So next week, it is going to be December. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to be in December next week. And I want to just rattle off. December's a big month
for us. To make me nervous?
No.
In an effort to make me nervous about the end of the year approaching?
This is to get excited.
Oh, get excited.
This is to get excited. We got December's a big month. So here's what you can expect from us in December. The Metroid Prime 4 spoiler cast.
I know. I was just thinking this time next week, we'll be, nearly playing Metroid Prime 4.
Yes.
When you come back from Japan...
That's when this comes out. Yes, we will be playing.
We'll be playing.
Yes.
Metroid Prime 4. Whoa.
We are going to have, believe it or not, our 200th episode of this podcast. So
this is
episode 198 right now.
How exciting.
I was like, wait, that's coming up real soon.
One, two.
I'm going to be completely honest with all of you. We have done zero planning for that episode.
Well, it's because it's the game of the year stuff.
It's not
going to coincide with it.
I mean, we have planned out a lot of the episodes. It's just not going to be the special 200th episode anniversary.
Do we care about 200
blowout.
Episodes?
I mean, it's nice, but we're not.
500.
We don't need to do. We don't need to. You know, as we have this commemorative 300 episodes of Nintendo
300.
Minute.
Well, it's not 300.
No,
it's
not at 300 yet. 250?
No.
250?
No. 50s.
That's a quarter of the way to 1,000. Doing the math.
Quarter of the way to 1,000.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Whatever.
No, we have this 300. So that's happening. We're going to the Game Awards. We're going to vlog that.
Or driving, road trip.
And we might be making some special stops along the way.
Excited about that.
Perhaps the most exciting thing of all is our big Game of the Year blowout bash. Mark it on your calendars. That is coming December 18th.
Wow.
Unless you are a Patreon subscriber and you will get it early.
Wow.
As
and
I
you'll
say
know all the things.
Hushed tone.
It's a big episode. It's a big episode.
It's incredible.
It's our favorite episode to do all year.
It's wonderful. I look forward. Legitimately look forward to that all year.
We're gonna get dressed up again, right?
Yeah.
But you're gonna wear shorts on the bottom.
Yes. I mean, that worked out great last time.
It kind of did, actually. You looked great waist up. Waist down was another question.
I didn't have to do that. This isn't a standing podcast or one of those.
We should do a standing podcast.
No.
For 2 hours, you're standing in a suit.
No. We don't need to do that.
How fun. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I love
so
it.
Lots to look forward to as we wrap up the year. I'm looking forward to getting into these dozen questions that we have picked. So let's not delay, but actually let's, because we have a great sponsor to shout out. This episode is sponsored by Turtle Beach. For a limited time only, our listeners get 10% off their entire order when you use code KITKRISTA at turtlebeach.com. That's 10% off your order at turtlebeach.com with promo code KITKRISTA.
Wow. This is great because we're talking about deals and potential gifts. This is a great gift to get somebody.
That's right.
To enhance their video game playing experience. These are awesome headphones. We use them daily.
Yes,
when we play games.
Gen 3 Stealth 700 headset is what we're talking about here. Do use them daily. They're so comfortable. Mm-hmm. They go all the way over the ear. You always talk about having earrings and getting a little bit stressed out about headphones. No need to worry.
Yeah. Great battery life, too. Has 80 hours of battery life. That's probably longer than any one gaming session that you might have. And it's just like the perfect gift, whether you're buying it for yourself as a treat for yourself or for somebody else.
That's right. They have this cool cross-play dual wireless transmitter system. Just means, you know, you can be connected to different things, get different sources, switch between those really seamlessly. And they're so comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can forget that you have them on.
Yeah.
Turtle Beach also has a lot of other gaming accessories.
They do.
And they just recently rolled out a lot of Switch 2 accessories as well. So you should check those out when you're out there browsing to try and get a deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So get the ultimate immersive gaming experience with Turtle Beach today. For a limited time only, head to turtlebeach.com to get access to their site-wide holiday sale. And after your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. And please support our show and tell them we sent you. Save big and don't delay. Happy holidays from Turtle Beach.
We'll put the link right over here with a QR code for you to scan and also in the description below.
That's right. Let's get into our 12 big questions. And let's start with, we get all of these from our Patreon subscribers. Mm-hmm. So check us out at patreon.com/Kit and Krista. If any of that stuff we were talking about at the top, if that enticed you.
Yes.
Or if you're ever interested in sending us a question, that's where we get them all. Start with James. Hi, Kit and Krista. Has there been any business decisions Nintendo have taken since you left the company that you have been shocked or surprised by? Has there been anything NOA have done that you never would have thought of doing during your time there? Do you think these decisions turned out well or not?
Well, I could think of like two things. I will say that one thing that surprised me a lot, that I don't think it was necessarily like a bad thing. It was just like, wow, I didn't think they would do that. Was that one time where we had two Nintendo Directs 1 week apart.
Oh, yeah.
That was really a shocker for me.
Leading into the big Switch 2. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
That was truly
baffling. I don't necessarily think that was a bad thing. They just had so much information, I think, that they wanted to get out there. For the fans, I think we're all always excited.
For the fans!
We were eating good that day. We ate two Nintendo Directs. We were full of Direct. Our bellies were full. But it was very strange because, you know, we talk about and we know so deeply and so like almost like to a traumatic kind of PTSD type of way where like how much work goes into a Nintendo Direct and just like how much the team has to do to pull one of these together is like you're moving mountains here, you know? And I remember saying that when that was happening and people came at me in the comments were like, what a stupid thing to say. Why would you say that about someone that's their job, who cares? I was like, wow, you guys are mean. Like that, no one has sympathy. Okay, that's cool. But yeah, it's just a crazy thing to have to do too. And then a couple months later, I went to that Nintendo wedding. I went to a wedding with a bunch of Nintendo people.
I was like, wait, the Nintendo
Mario
wedding.
Mario and Peach were getting married and I was invited to the wedding.
Someone we used to work with
at Nintendo was getting married and there was a ton of Nintendo people at this wedding.
Right.
And the conversation came up about the two 1 week apart Nintendo Directs. And those people were very tired and they were like, yeah, that was a really bad couple of months.
Right.
Like, I was miserable. So these are real people working on real stuff.
It's hard to understand how all-consuming that can become and how stressful
But I was truly baffled by that.
Yeah.
Truly. And I still don't really understand.
Again, we were talking about like, oh, we had to announce Tomodachi Life, and then we just got a new Tomodachi Life trailer that revealed zero new information. So it's like, why not just wait?
And then also, Rhythm Heaven was in that direct,
and we haven't seen that since.
Never to be seen again for the rest of the year. So it was just like, why though?
The only kind of enduring thing is like virtual key cards.
That's right.
That was one of the only things that has actually come to fruition from all of that.
We got to learn about the virtual key cards before the Switch 2 stuff is in. Who knows? It was they had talked themselves into something that they thought was important to do that, and that's how we ended up in that position. Right. Yeah, for fans, people were like excited. Everyone's like, let's watch two directs. Hooray! But like, if you think about the internal decisions that led them there, I was just like, what and why?
And again, when everything needs to have a purpose, like, well, what's the purpose of doing this thing?
Someone talked themselves into a
purpose. 1 week before the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Big time.
So that you said one. Do you have another one?
I do.
I'm going to go next.
I have another one.
I'm scared. You're going to scoot me.
All right.
I'm still baffled by $80 Mario Kart.
Oh, you're still
world.
Baffled?
I don't understand this. This makes no sense.
$50 if you get the bundle.
And the way that it was, you know, again, rolled out where it was not in the direct, it was not really in any sort of forward-facing messaging that they were doing. It was like you had to hunt and it's like, wait, am I looking at this right? Is this what currency is this?
That was hilarious. That morning was so funny.
$80 US.
We watched the direct. And of course, pricing was not in that direct at all, I remember. And then I was editing like crazily the reaction. And you were hunting down information because we were going to do a podcast right afterwards about that big direct. And you were texting me like, wait. Mario Kart is $80? And I thought you were joking. I thought you were pulling my leg.
It comes across as a joke.
Yeah.
And
it really did.
To this day, we still don't have a clear explanation as to why.
It definitely
raised expectations for, remember the Mario Kart 8 Direct? Please stay tuned for the Mario Kart 8 Direct. All will be revealed.
Yeah.
Well, you're sounding like Papa John's out there. The day of reckoning is coming.
Oh, Papa John's.
You remember when Papa John's was saying that when he was getting ousted? The day of reckoning is coming.
Reckoning?
It's like, oh, Papa John's got some dirt. And then nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
It was exactly like that.
That was my second thing. Was not
Papa John?
Papa John's was my second thing. No, my second thing was not the $80 is pretty baffling, obviously, crazy. But it was the expectation pumping.
Yes.
Which, again, is so opposite from what was drilled into us severely. And then you were severely punished if you did raise expectations. Like that one time where you had that. Did we tell that story about the E3 surprise box?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So that one time where I had a gaffe,
perceived
gaffe, where I sent out stuff and it had like, get ready to get excited for the E3 Nintendo Direct. And I was slapped and it was like, you should never have done that. How dare you? How dare you raise expectations? And then you just got like Bill Trinan out there going, just you wait until that Mario Kart World Direct. We can't wait to show you why this game is worth $80. And I was like, wow, really?
And then there was nothing.
And I was excited.
There was nothing.
No, because I believed him.
We all believed
because
him.
Because they never cry wolf like that,
no,
you know?
No.
And so I was like, oh, cool. I'm so in. Like, I can't wait for this direct, right? Like, we were like, oh, wow. We'll suspend judgment.
Totally.
Until we get the direct. And then we saw the direct promotion. We're like, wait, why is it only 15 minutes? And then we saw the direct and we're like, well, that's a huge nothing burger.
Right.
And then now they totally lost a lot of like credibility.
And just
right
the
there.
Way that has, and again, like the game seems to be selling great. We've seen the tie ratio, but again, it's just kind of the erosion of trust that created.
That was what
And then how it got out of control, again, because nobody knew. I was like, oh, wait, it's $90? Wait, no, Mario Kart's $90? Oh,
well,
my God.
This region is this much money, and the physical is
like,
that.
There's probably still somebody out there who thinks that. So that's just one. It's like, I really just don't get it.
Yeah, there was some craziness.
Like beyond just like, because we could.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the other explanations? I would love to get the full story.
Or just, like, don't pump people up. Like, people who are mad about the $80, maybe just, like, leave it. Like, you don't need to say all these things that weren't going to be true. You know?
Gotta say something.
But not that.
Yeah. All right, what's your other thing?
That was my other thing.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah. Well, not the $80, but the expectation management part
okay.
of it. Yeah, because I was just like, wait, why is Bill Trinan doing that? That's so out of character.
Yeah. Why you is next. A lot of games that aren't super heavy hitters still get made because they have a champion inside the company fighting for them. I remember the director of Tekken was asked why its sister series Soul Calibur was dormant, and he essentially said that the people inside the company who championed for the series were now gone. So my question is, which Nintendo series do you think is most at risk of becoming dormant without their champion? and which currently dormant series would you champion if you were in a position of power?
Ooh.
Raw, unchecked power.
The reckoning is coming.
I don't think you would make a game. You just mess with people.
I would mess with people. I would definitely mess with people. I'd love to do that.
Revenge. That's what you would be settling.
Oh, yeah.
Some revenge.
Grudges will be settled.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah, like we always joke around, you know, like obvious, one of the obvious things is Mr. Miyamoto, number one Pikmin champion.
Yes.
I mean, it's his own thing, obviously, but yeah, like we were joking around that anytime he can get one in for Pikmin, yeah, he'll do it. Like at the end of the Mario movie direct.
Shameless.
Really shameless. Move over, Jack Black and Chris Meledandri.
All right, enough about this movie.
Let me tell you about something that we're making about babies, okay? Forget your Rosalina and your whatever. Who cares? $1 billion
Nintendo's
movie.
Making a baby? What?
Nintendo's having a baby. They're getting married and having a baby.
Is that the title of this podcast? Nintendo's having a baby?
Nintendo's having a baby. Gender reveal party
it's
for
like
Nintendo.
Pregnant Mario or something? Yikes.
Gross. But yeah, it's like, you know, there is like these shameless plugs.
Right.
And we also told the story before that I just think is like, this is why I would never champion an unknown because I'm too chicken. I'm not, like, brave enough. But people were brave enough. Like, there's one guy that championed Codename Steam. Like, to the next level. Like,
to the hilt.
To the hilt.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I think he was,
he
like...
He believed.
He was, like...
True believer.
Insisting to the NCL teams and using a lot of his credibility
Be
like, no, this is going to be great. This is going to blow up in our market. So he had a lot on the line for that, I think.
I would never do that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
And then it just doesn't connect. Yeah.
This is also tough. The same guy, though. The guy that championed Codename Steam was also the guy that truly understood, like, you know, proper Metroid vibes.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you want to say about spin-off Metroid, but like the core Metroid atmosphere and vibe, like he was the one that was championing that.
Yes, yes.
So he had some good wins, but that was a huge miss. And people talked about that for years afterwards, you know? So that was kind of unfortunate for his reputation.
Yeah. There's also some... You know, this is probably true at all sorts of companies, but especially at Nintendo, like a lot of series that just have internal baggage that is kind of hard to overcome.
That's
so, like,
true.
You know, Mother/Earthbound is definitely one. It's like, oh, why don't you make a new one of those? And it's like, well, we've got this guy,
a certain way.
Mr. Itoi, who's outside of the company, and his relationship was with Mr. Iwata.
Right.
And obviously, he is no longer with us. So it's like, ooh, that's kind of a tricky one. It's like, let's just leave that be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like on paper, it's like, another one of those. Yeah, that sounds great. But then it's like kind of the internal dynamics and the relationships and all of that.
There's
like,
sensitivity.
Like, who would we ask? How would we ask?
The sensitivity around that is just a little bit daunting.
All right. And it's not just game. Like, there are just like a lot of topics like that that are kind of taboo.
Yeah.
That on the outside, it's like, well, why not? Just ask him.
Just do it.
Just try it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just doesn't work that way.
You can't approach it like that.
Right.
But there are a few that I think will never die. Like Star Fox, I don't think will never, ever die. Like,
will never die.
Yeah.
As we sit here in our utmost of Star Fox droughts.
But I think Mr. Miyamoto will continue to push for that one.
He seems completely unconcerned about anything that's not a Pikmin in a video game sense these days.
I don't know. Because I feel like he could have something
Star Fox,
up his sleeve.
Star Fox Zero was... very much him being a champion.
And that
of
one
kind of
did not go well.
And that didn't go great. So
I don't think he would leave that one though. I feel like he would never leave that behind.
I could see him doing some sort of a Star Fox. I mean, he dabbled in those animations.
That's what I think.
That were cool. But I mean, talking about Star Fox game. Is he gonna be the guy to revive Star Fox? I don't know.
Maybe in a different form, like a series, like an animated series.
I'm talking about a Vidja game here.
Well, he said video games suck, so I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Don't quote me. That was a joke. But there are people that are tired. I mean, we also hear stories about, like, you know, not like I'm championing this series, but it's also like, well, we got to do something because we have other business priorities tied to certain franchises, like Donkey Kong. Like, they were messing with that.
Yeah.
like voxel technology,
right,
or whatever.
That was without a champion for a long time.
But suddenly they got a business reason, yes, because they have the parks and they have, yes, Donkey Kong the movie.
Yes.
And then they even said in those interviews, like Mr. Koizumi was like, you should put that technology, yeah, into a Donkey Kong,
yeah,
game. And
hey, do
like,
this.
Okay.
Yes.
So there's also that kind of way of championing something,
yeah,
you know?
I think for the most part, they've done a good job of, you know, if there is a champion who's getting up in years, having some sort of a successor who's,
yeah,
been really, like, playing understudy.
Yeah.
And even for, like, smaller franchises, like, remember when MEO Famicom Detective Club was coming out, like, we heard about that other developer who was with Mr. Sakamoto.
Yeah.
And I think she seemed very, like, well-equipped to pick up the torch.
Like, committed to it.
Whenever he, yeah, decides to hang it up. So I think the things that are going are, yeah, are going pretty good. But, yeah, Star Fox is just the one that I'm always, like,
a little wary of.
Yeah, and
I don't think we'll leave it behind.
You think about, no, I don't think it'll get left behind, but it could become just kind of a weird, like, is it inhabiting the space that everybody wants it to be? It's like, well, we have this thing, but
yeah,
we don't have this other thing that...
I do also wonder, like, sometimes an outside party can come,
yeah,
in, like,
yeah,
Koei Tecmo with the Hyrule Warrior stuff. Like,
sure,
they came in and were like, we have an idea, we can make, we can,
okay,
we can... Put the Musou.
When Ubisoft was like, let us put Star Fox in this game that's basically Star Fox. That was cool. I like that game.
Exactly. Or, you know, like Bandai Namco could,
yeah,
come in and be like, let us take this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we will take this and do something with it. And then, of course, you finally, you do have the pet projects. Like, Sakurai is always like, let me do my thing.
Yeah.
And you'll get something in return, which is how we got Kirby Air Riders, you know? So,
mm-hmm,
yeah. And, like, you were talking about Sakamoto. Like, he may be retiring soon. So he could have said to Nintendo, like, hey, I kind of want to do, like, one last MEO game. Like, let me do this,
yeah,
before I retire. Like, I think they're open to that kind
last
of stuff.
Last week
as well,
we talked about who might become the champion of Metroid Prime. And that, you can go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
Kind of at the tail end of our,
yeah,
Metroid conversation last
so
week.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
All right. Gartooth is here. When Nintendo announced that there would be a Switch 2 bundle that included Mario Kart World, it was with the context that it would only run through fall 2025 while supplies last. Currently, that bundle's still on sale. I think that was a bit surprising since I'd wondered if the introduction of the Pokemon bundle would mean phasing the Mario Kart one out. Do you think Nintendo will keep selling the Mario Kart Switch 2 bundle into 2026? Will they ever phase it out, or do they figure this is better to get new adopters to buy the game rather than paying $80, especially in light of the current economy and people's spending power?
Yeah, I wonder why they said that, actually, if they had no intention of phasing it out.
Well, they may have at the time, but I mean, this is kind of the truth. And like, sometimes people will be like, oh, well, Nintendo said this. They can't go against that. It's like, they can do whatever they want.
Well, yeah, of
they
course.
Can change any plan. Anything can happen
at any time,
regardless,
yes,
of what they have said.
That's true.
That can all be ripped up at the drop of a hat.
But why say it at
to.
All is the thing. Like, if you didn't, like, you don't need to be, yeah, that definitive about it. If you knew that plans could change.
I think they had...
That was a weird thing that they did to be definitive.
I think they had an idea of, well, you know, this bundle thing is a cool idea. You know, we can kind of roll from game to game and keep it fresh. But I think maybe they just saw, like, no, this Mario Kart one is really doing the job. So I actually do wonder, like, does that just become kind of...
Perpetually
available and as needed... Other games get a bundle like a Pokemon,
mm-hmm,
or there might be a couple next year, but this Mario Kart World one is just always out there.
Have they ever reported on the sales of standalone $80 Mario Kart yet?
I don't know.
They have not, probably, right? I'm just curious.
I mean, we saw the breakdown. Well, look, we saw the tie ratio, and the tie ratio was extremely high.
Yeah.
And we know that the majority of what's being sold is a bundle.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that could have worked itself way into the decision, too.
Do whatever kind of fake math you want. But I think that's just, you know, it's just overperforming for them. So it's like, why would we do away with this?
Yeah.
And again,
I mean, that is a really good deal.
Yeah.
That bundle is a great deal.
And again, they reserve the right to change that at any time, to take that away at any time.
Or replace
and
it
guess
with
what?
Somebody else,
if it goes away, to bring it back. At any time.
Yeah.
So we just got to kind of be on our toes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just take anything that they say with a grain of salt, because that can all be ripped up.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that, you know, they are looking at it in terms of like, yeah, people are a bit budget conscious these days. And like, this truly feels like people's reaction to this is like, yes, this is a justifiable good deal. Like,
right.
I can pull the trigger on this.
And not to, going back to that other question, again, it's baffling that we have an $80 version of the game, or you can get it included here for $50. It's like, why the difference? I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but again, it's like the whole thing doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, it's great, great. I chose to get it for $80. I didn't blink an eye at that. Whatever. Huh?
What a loser.
Well, that's just mean. This is Thanksgiving. That's not the spirit of Thanksgiving to call me a loser. Jeez. But why can anybody explain this? It is what it is.
It's weird.
It is what it is. That's the proper answer.
It's worth $50.
It's worth
$50. The game is worth $50.
Sure, sure. All right, Chase Yama's here with a question. We've seen from the outside how Nintendo appears to publicly prepare for the holiday season. But from your guys' personal experience, what was it like inside of Nintendo during the preparations for the holiday season? Also, this Thanksgiving, I'm feeling thankful for your guys' continued awesome content.
Aww.
I've been on a Kit and Krista binge session lately, and it's been so fun revisiting all of the great memories.
Wow, thank you.
Why don't you need to go back and binge some old content?
Binge your Thanksgiving turkey and binge this content.
Yum. When are you going to do that?
I sometimes watch old videos, and I'm like, the editing is terrible.
Oh. Podcasts or something else?
Something else. Like, I like watching old vlogs.
I like those, too. Those are the ones.
Just like, it's like reading a diary.
Yeah.
You know, like reading your diary. Again. Yeah. It's like, oh, what did I do on this day in 2022 or something?
Right, right, right.
Anyways, inside is quite crazy. I mean, there's like vacation blackout during these days leading up to the holiday. A lot of teams, like the retail team, basically they're not allowed to take any vacation because it's so busy to get everything ready to go. And we were talking about like how what is a little bit unfortunate for some of these holiday timed launches, especially a game like Metroid Prime 4, is like it gets jammed up with a lot of the other holiday priorities. And yeah, we talked a little bit about like what they're doing at Nintendo Inside is like prioritizing the most like mass appeal stuff for the holidays. So not only will they have individual holiday campaigns for games launching in this time period, but they also have these like hardware campaigns for the holiday, or you know, they break it up all sorts of different ways, like a holiday campaign targeted to parents, a holiday campaign for kids. Obviously it all goes back to Switch 2 hardware, but what you're ending up with is just like a plate full of stuff, and then things start to like fall off your plate. And
yeah.
I think, you know, Metroid Prime 4 is suffering a little bit from the thing that's like, oh shoot, you know, I didn't have enough time to do it. So you get that sense around the holiday time where it's just so much to do, so much to talk about, but not enough time to do it.
Yeah, the interesting thing about it is it really starts to get heavy in like the late summer, like
yeah.
I would say like August.
August.
Usually like we're transitioning out of E3 or whatever summer yeah. announcements you're doing. And
yeah.
it's like August, like, all right, now we're looking ahead. We're starting our planning. We have to get all that together. The work has to get done before you can deploy it. And like in a best case scenario, like by now it's starting to ease up. In a best case scenario, this year is not a best case scenario for them at all because they've still got games coming out.
Worst case scenario.
It's bleeding into the holidays.
Yeah.
That's always nasty. Like when you were doing Smash in December, I'm sure that was terrible.
That's hard.
I'm sure you just did nothing. You know, depending on the year, if they've got something big in the Game Awards, that can eat up your holiday there.
Right.
I certainly, like, I think
No, you had.
I did a call with Jeff Keighley on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, you did.
And it's like, well, we got to talk through the decisions for the set. Let's get this going. I was like, here we go.
That.
I'll see you on Thanksgiving. It's great.
Yeah, you were literally like finishing your Thanksgiving
I love
dinner
that.
And then getting on a call with Jeff
right,
Keighley.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's happened.
On Thanksgiving. So
yeah.
that's unfortunate. Once you get to December, though, once they get past Metroid Prime,
they'll be okay.
They can take
they can
a
take
bit
a little break.
Of a breather.
And they do have holiday shutdown. So they're off on vacation Christmas through New Year's.
Yeah.
And the whole company takes it off. And that just means no one is like emailing you.
Unless you're working on that January
3rd
Nintendo
Direct
or whatever.
In January.
They pushed those back a little bit.
They're now in February, which is
there
a little
was,
bit
There
better.
Was some pushback on that.
Somebody got really mad.
Yeah, I was like,
we cannot do this again.
This is too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again.
What if there are like two directs in January? Get on that. Get going. Someone's going to riot. Someone's gonna riot. Oh my gosh.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Let's take a question from Joshua Bowman. after you left Nintendo, did you ever play any mods or fan games? I asked this myself after procrastinating for a decent bit because of the barrier to entry, dove into the world of mods and fan games a while back, and I haven't been the same since. It's something I think you really do miss out on if you're not playing them. My favorite of late is Paper Mario Thousand Year Door Tower of Trials, which turns the cult classic game into a full-on roguelike. With an achievement system based on the likes of Kirby Air Ride slash Smash and an intensity percent gauge reminiscent of Kid Icarus Uprising, I easily pumped 80 hours into this awesome mod by JDaster64.
How do I do this? How do I play?
I can't say I have, and I think that's the biggest reason is like, we talked about this last week with PC gaming. It's like, I don't want to spend my time, I want to spend my time playing a game. I don't want to spend my time fiddling with something, tinkering with something, dragging files all over the place.
Right.
I don't want to deal with that. And I've heard again, going back to Earthbound, like, oh, Mother 3, there's this great fan translation. Like, you could play that in English. It's like, well, that game's probably never coming out here. Like, sure, if somebody would, like, put that in front of me, it's not like I would have some, like, moral, like, I mustn't. It's like, yeah, I'd probably play that.
I just want to know how.
Right.
How do I do it? Is it a PC-only kind of situation?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I don't want to deal with that.
I quite literally do not know where to even start. Yeah. Like, how do I find the good ones? How do I actually get that? How do I connect a control? Like, how? Give me all the
I don't know.
Give me a step-by-step guide.
Literally don't know.
And there are some that break through that.
You hear about, like, you know, again, like the Metroid 2-1 that was coming out around the time of Return of Samus. That was very noteworthy. You often hear about, like, these Pokemon ones that are like, well, it's based on, like, the old style of the games, but they've added all these modern mechanics.
Yeah.
That's interesting, and you know, it's not our concern to clutch our pearls over like,
no, I would be fully on board to try these if I literally knew how to start, and I do not know.
Exactly.
Treat me like a dumb 5-year-old and tell me how to do it,
because
I would be interested if I had like a list of games
on your Gabe Cube. You'll be playing this perhaps.
My Gabe Cube?
Your Gabe Cube, yes.
I want a Gabe Cube.
Yeah. All right, Link the Hero of Winds asks, what three characters do you hope to see most in the Zelda movie?
Oh, okay. So we obviously know that there's some leaked characters, so we won't talk about that.
So here's why I am with this. We've seen the first photos. They look great.
Yeah.
We like the way the characters look. We like the costumes, the setting. Now I'm starting to get greedy. And it's like, okay, what about some of the more fantastical characters? And how are they going to approach? I'm thinking like Gorons. How are they going to handle that? Is this going to be a guy in a rubber suit? Is this going to be CG? What is the quality of...
Or like a Zora.
The CG. Or Zora, exactly. So, Gorons, Zora...
Rito.
Navi. I don't really love the Rito. I could do without them, actually.
Rito?
Navi? Some sort of Navi situation.
Like a little... Like a fairy?
I guess you could just shrink down a lady with some fairy wings or something.
I would like to see them depict a great fairy, too.
Me too.
Ooh, Link!
I would too.
That would be like the Great Fairy Fountains too.
Yeah.
You know who I desperately want to see in this movie, but I don't think I will be able to.
Who?
Is the Stable Trotters Band playing that song that I love?
Yeah,
that would be incredible. They should have some right. music is another cool way. Like, how are they going to do the music? Mm-hmm. Is there going to be an ocarina? Is there going to be?
Well, it's going to be Take on Me by Aha. Obviously.
Roll up your white blazer sleeves, Link, and get going on it.
Yeah.
I want to see Epona.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. I hope that there is an Epona something.
Sure.
That would be really cool. Midna, is that too much to ask? It might not be fitting into the story.
I don't think we're seeing Midna in this.
I don't think we're seeing Midna
in this particular. I mean, that could be like a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in this, like the original story, I don't think you could want to introduce.
No.
Midna?
No.
I mean, you obviously will see Ganon. You know, that's pretty obvious.
But, there are these kind of, like, checks that this movie needs to pass.
Yeah.
And it's passed everyone so far, kind of with sailing colors. But it's like the more fantastical creatures, that's going to be a big check of, like, does it look cheesy? Does the CG look bad? There was kind of a crisis in movies of like these CG companies are too slammed, like the quality in general has gone down. the way these movies are made, they don't have enough time.
Yeah.
The schedule doesn't work.
Like, or money.
Or money. Like, that's a big thing that this movie is probably going to need to surpass at some point.
That's so true. Because, I mean, yes, there's large swaths of the movie that can take place in very, like, natural settings. Like, a field in New Zealand, like, with a horse. Like, that's easy to do, sort of. But there are serious parts of the Zelda universe and story that's like inside the Elden volcano. Like, are they gonna make that look cool?
Yeah.
Like underwater in the Zora Kingdom, or like, you know, in the Hebra Mountains. Maybe they'll have Rito, maybe not. But like, you do have these like fantastical characters and locales that you would have to make look nice,
right,
and like believable, especially because they'll contrast with your real location. It's like suddenly you're in beautiful field in New Zealand, and then you're in like a volcano. Like, is that gonna look weird?
It
next
is crazy
to each
how
other?
Like some like again like the Lord of the Rings is like 20 something years old now, and but those
like,
movies
totally
still
up.
Mostly hold totally up in terms up. Of the CG. But I was just telling you, like, I was watching the Fantastic Four movie recently. And not only is it a little bit boring to my taste, I'm like, some of the CG, I'm like, I don't think the CG looks great.
Yeah.
And that's like a brand
some
new.
Some of those Marvel movies, the CG looks really
well,
shaky.
That's, they're the ones that have had a lot of these problems.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this is a brand new big time Marvel movie.
Right.
And it's like,
I watched Thunderbolts and the CG in that one, because they have
sure
a lot of like New
what's
York
going on
being
here.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
And it didn't look that good. I mean, the movie was funny and good.
Yeah.
It's fine, but the CG was
I don't understand movie CG well enough to understand.
Yeah.
Or like the first Jurassic Park, like when you see that first dinosaur, it's like, that's real. And like, you still watch that. Like, yeah, I still am into this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. And they're going to have to do that thing where they like act in front of the green screen. It's like the Goron's going to be like like a stick, you know, or something, because they're going to CG it.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to do like the believable acting like they do in Game of Thrones with the dragons.
Right,
like, that seems
right,
hard.
Right, right, right.
That seems hard.
I don't know. More to come on that. We have a half dozen more questions to go, but we're going to take a little break to shout out our other sponsor for this great episode. This episode is sponsored by Notion. Notion brings all your notes, docs, and projects into one connected space that just works. It's seamless, flexible, powerful, and actually fun to use. You spend less time switching between tools and more time creating great work. And now the Notion agent doesn't just help with work, it finishes it.
So nice.
Wow.
It's true. It's all true. Like, we use this for all of our like daily admin-y kind of tasks to keep this here business.
There might be some things
running.
I trust the Notion agent to do more than I trust you to do.
Grammar.
Math slash grammar. I don't know,
probably,
a lot of things.
Yeah.
But yes, this is a two-person business here.
Yes.
There is not, again, off in the other room, there's not, you know, hordes and hordes of people doing all sorts of other things. We got to finish.
Monkeys at the typewriter?
No, we have to finish this and go do that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not all glamorous stuff. So it really does go a long way to have the help of Notion and the Notion agent to help us out.
It's true. Like, all that admin work and busy work truly is such a time suck. And it's not fun.
No.
I'd rather be doing this, like
talking
about games and playing games and doing the fun part of this job and leave the boring things up to a tool that can do it, and Notion is great for that.
Right. We sometimes hear people saying, like, oh, okay, no, it's great that Notion, like, has all these integrated tools, but, like, well, I use Google Drive or I use Slack. I was like, well, that's, don't worry, because Notion can hook into all of those things, so it's not, if you use that, you don't have to leave it behind.
Right.
You have to migrate all of your stuff. It just kind of connects into that and works very seamlessly.
And it's good for non-work things, too. Like, everyone's really busy with their holiday schedules. Like, if you need to, you know, plan for your big holiday family gathering and you need to organize stuff around that, like, you can use Notion for all of that, too, which is really nice.
That's right. So try Notion now with the Notion agent at Notion.com/KitAndKrista. That's all lowercase letters, Notion.com/KitAndKrista, to try your new teammate, the Notion agent, today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. That's Notion.com/KitAndKrista.
We'll put the link right over here and a QR code for you to scan and in the description box below.
Back into the questions.
Wow.
Tuscoob. What do you think Tuscoob's asking about?
I'm going to guess Fire Emblem.
You're right. Fire Emblem Fortune's Weave is still upon us. In the past, with Fire Emblem Three Houses and Fire Emblem Engage, the marketing campaigns were very active and aggressive in Japan, with each week having a new character's bio detailed and revealed with screenshots and a clip, either through magazines or a Japan-only Twitter account. During those campaigns, these were never translated in the West, with American marketing cycles being largely quiet. Do you foresee this changing at all for Fortune's Weave in the wake of Three Houses' success? Is Fire Emblem not bigger in the West now than it is in Japan? Should they be doing these weekly reveals for Fire Emblem here if or when they start up in Japan?
They totally surprised us. I remember when they were like, by and by, we're starting a Fire Emblem Twitter account. We're like, you are?
Yeah, they would do this a lot, where our strategy was to have less accounts.
Yes.
And just have a full spectrum of content on those. And their strategy was like, no, we want to start them up per brand, per big brand.
Yeah.
And for the fans of those things can go to those. And it's like, all right, you can argue both sides. Our perspective was like, well, when you're in between games, you're going to have some lulls. You might have some just downtime period.
And you'll lose people
in those lulls. Which is not ideal for how these social channels work. So, you know, we just agreed to disagree, basically.
Right.
And it's like, nobody was like forcing the other. It's just like, well, we're going to do this and you can do that and it's fine. And we kind of achieved the same thing.
And some of the things we did translate, I remember, for the Nintendo of America Twitter, but it wasn't like at the volume of what they were doing on the Japanese Fire Emblem Twitter.
Nintendo today will solve this and all of our other problems, right?
I hope so. Unless Mr. Sakurai is like, no, you got to keep posting Kirby. You posting Kirby rest of your life. Ha ha! You want me to make Smash? You better be posting about Kirby. Just kidding. I do think that, you know, this is going to be a pretty big game. It's the first sort of Fire Emblem game on Switch 2. It's going to be a big game for them for Q1. They need to, like, it's annoying that we keep talking about this, but it's like, they will have to keep their holiday momentum going into Q1, and this is going to be a major pillar of how they're going to be doing that to keep people, like, engaged with their systems and keep playing their systems. So, no, I think that I'm expecting a very full-fledged marketing campaign for Fortune's Weave when we hit January, when we start to see more about this game. I'm sure it's going to be in every upcoming, you know, 2026 Nintendo Direct. But yeah, I'm absolutely expecting them to do things in the West and not just things for Japan.
Yeah, there was a marketing phrase that we would use to describe, you know, these very passionate fans of these series called info seekers.
Yes.
And that means if there's information out there, these people are going to find it.
Yeah, so they're hungry for it all the time.
Yeah, that was this phenomenon of like, well, this thing was posted in Japan, and I don't speak Japanese, but we're gonna put in the effort to figure out
That's
what
right.
this is and share it with each other. So there's really no excuse not to do it.
Yeah,
you really should. They can do that.
I think they will.
They have processes in place to do this. They've done it in the past for other things. It happens all the time on the mobile games where they are very actively sharing a lot of information that is, quite frankly, much less engaging and interesting
than this. Is anyone still playing that mobile game?
So, the Fire Emblem one?
Yeah, is anyone still playing that game? I played it for about 10 minutes and realized
speaking of
it was
game
terrible.
I got some Game of the Year categories up on another tab. I need to make sure that's in most disappointing. Because that's a potential winner right there. Yeah, they got to do this.
Yeah, they are going to do this.
They better do this. You sound confident.
I'm very confident.
Okay.
If they don't do this on Riot, I'll be mad.
All right. Let's move on to the keggers. I'll ask two questions in the hope that you answer one.
Oh.
I think we can do both.
Wow.
A video game related question and a non-video game related question. Oh. Question one. What game from your childhood would you want a modern reboot, remaster, or sequel to? For me, it's Diddy Kong Racing.
Oh, yeah.
I would be fine with a visually upgraded remaster for the Switch 2, but I think a sequel would be even better. And with the Kong brand becoming more mainstream, I think it's the perfect time to bring Diddy Kong into the spotlight.
Yeah, a lot of people call for Diddy Kong to come back.
Very beloved game.
A very beloved game.
And
one that people compare a lot of modern racing games to and say, like, why not do this?
Why don't you do a story mode?
It has a great story
mode. Like
it has
racing.
All this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to think for a second. You go first.
I've said this before. It's Mario 64.
Mm.
I don't think it needs a sequel, but I would love
like
for them to
remaster.
Do like some sort of just kind of, again, clean up some of those rough edges that were not rough at all at the time, that were quite forward-thinking at the time, but now are a little bit rough. Like, you know, you could change the camera around. I loved doing the camera on the Nintendo 64.
I did not.
but I know.
Because I didn't play it on the. I didn't play it in that era.
If you grew up in the era of two analog sticks, you're like, why am I just hammering this button? And like, oh, the camera doesn't move now. Like, what? I thought that I loved that, but I get it. Yeah, like, yeah. I think you could, you know, properly win over a new generation who looks at that game a little bit sideways now of like, oh, that I think that kind of sucks. It's like, wait.
Can make it
look at
not
it now.
Suck.
Look at it now.
Probably can, the look of it, you can probably like keep the fidelity, but just make it high res. Obviously, like change.
No,
the
I
look,
think
right?
you can make it more modern. You can absolutely.
You
make
would
it.
Change it from like the
well,
little.
What's the point? I mean,
polygonish
it's,
look.
It's sharper in Mario All Stars. Yeah, you should give it a prop. If you're gonna do the work, don't just phone
but
it
the
in.
The style is so iconic.
Well, we still have the original game for people like me who want to play it. No, we're modernizing this.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to play that.
These days, I have a real hankering for 3DS and DS games. Because I just feel like a lot of them are so inaccessible now.
Yeah, they are.
And we talked a lot about, like, Pokemon, for example. It's like, how do you even play a classic Pokemon game these days without having to spend, like, $1,000 on eBay? I would love for them to get some of these really classic DS, 3DS games to work on.
Such as?
A Switch 2. I was thinking about... someone was posting about Zelda, the one with Lowrul. What's the full title of that game?
Link Between Worlds?
Link Between Worlds, thank you. Someone was just posting
about
that.
Not Phantom Hourglass.
No.
Not Spirit Tracks.
Oh, no. But that is such a good game.
Yes.
And that game is, we have not talked about that game for years now, and we don't have a way to play unless you have that game on an original 3DS.
Right.
Like, that would be cool.
Also, why is Metroid Samus Returns not on a Switch?
There you go.
That one
you could easily put
when
on
we
Switch.
Launched that, like, you know, the Switch was out, I think, and it was like, oh, this will be on the Switch in a year or two.
Yeah, no worries.
Guaranteed.
And it
lock
did
it
not
in. And it never happened. It's like, wait, I still don't know why. Like, this is great. And we're trying to do things with Metroid.
Yeah. I get nervous because, like, some of these great 3DS games are become, like, lost time if you don't have, find a way to, like, make it possible.
Yeah.
For
it's
people,
true.
But yeah, literally someone posted a picture of Hilda, and I was like, oh my gosh, Hilda! I haven't thought about her in a while, but that was such a good game.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wonder how many people even remember that game, because it hasn't, you know, been talked about for so long.
All right, second question from the Keggers. Does it bother you if someone spells your name wrong?
Oh.
I have a coworker, actually not really a coworker, he's in a leadership position, who constantly spells my name wrong via Slack. For those unfamiliar with Slack, it's basically corporate instant messenger. My name is Keegan with two E's, and he always spells it Keegan with an E-A. My name is right there on Slack. You can't miss it. Do you have experience with this problem?
This is
blatant disrespect.
This is so disrespectful.
Report this person to HR.
You should definitely be offended by this. That's just not only disrespectful, but just like, this person has bad attention to detail. And if you're in a leadership position with that terrible attention to detail, you really shouldn't be a leader, because that is terrible. Yes, this has happened. My name is a weird spelling, I think.
Is it?
K-R-Y-S-T-A. I get a lot of C-H-R-I.
That's another one.
And we actually had another Krista at Nintendo that spelled her name with a C-H-R-I-S-T-A.
Yes.
So sometimes the spellings, or K-R-I-S-T-A, I get that a lot.
When we do YouTube uploads, there's a section to put tags, and it's just like, what are some other things that people might be searching for that would lead them to this video? And I always spell the different spellings of your name.
I know.
Because I'm searching for the kitten Krista, but it's K-R-I-S-T-A podcast.
I hate that spelling, by the way. I hate the way it looks.
You have a controversial opinion about different letters.
There's letters in the alphabet that are pretty looking.
Letters are more attractive than others
and then
to you.
Some letters are like ugly.
So
to
justify
me.
The letter K, as since we are both K
I love
names,
the letter K.
Justify.
See, I think the K letter looks very like happy, because it looks like someone going like this. Yay! Like it's like the arms, you know, like they're like, it's like a dancey kind of letter. Versus like the letter O, where it's just like, I'm an O, you know?
Uh-huh.
And a G. G is another terrible.
I always enjoy hearing about this, because it's something I've literally never heard anybody else having these opinions
even
or
the
these
word,
feelings.
Even the word gross has a G in it.
Right.
And it's just gross.
But I always have to like stop and think about it because like, yeah, I don't, you're on another level with this hate in here.
Yeah,
these letters.
All the letters in your name are cute. It's like K-I-T. It's like we're, it's like fun letters.
Okay.
But Kara, I get that a lot. C-H-R-I-S-T-I, I get
that
a lot.
Is there a fourth spelling that's really out there?
I don't think so.
No. Or just a complete miss.
So Crystal.
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 Yes.
I get that.
We actually get that a lot in like comments.
I do not like that.
Or things, yeah.
Please.
Crystal.
Again, this is just like the email or the Slack. The name of the podcast is spelled correctly, so maybe you could just take 2 seconds and not disrespect my name and just look at the title of this. It literally says The Kit and Krista Podcast, and if you're going to leave a comment, just spell it right.
My name is very short, so it's hard to misspell that, but I do often get people completely missing because I think they just don't know Kit is a name. So I get Kip, K-I-P.
Yes.
Kent, K-E-N-T, or the most bizarre one of all, Kid, K-I-D. And I don't know anybody whose name is just Kid. It's like the people's name is Guy. You know, it's kind of like that. Hey, Guy. You know?
But Guy is a real name, right?
But Guy is like an actual name.
Okay.
Yes, there are people.
Yeah, Kid is not a real name.
Kid, K-I-D.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's not a real name.
I've never seen a single person. Some people are like, Kit Carson or something, like from the Wild West or something. Like, yes, most people have at least one point of reference with the name Kit.
Do you ever get the double T's?
Yeah, and that doesn't bother me at all.
Okay.
Because again, that's a point of reference, and at least it's the right name.
Yeah.
Those ones do. Kid does bother me because it's like, where are you going with this? What do you think? You really think that's somebody's name? I don't think so.
There's that character from Dirty Dancing. Her name was Baby.
That was really her name?
Well, that's not a real name.
Was that a nickname?
It was a nickname. So maybe people think that your nickname is Kid. I don't think so. I think that's weird. But that could
Kip. Be. Kent and Kid is kind of...
Kent is a weird
the
one.
The trifecta of...
Kent!
You just missed.
Sometimes I hear you say your name and then spell it for people so they don't make a
mistake. Because they're going to screw up.
You're like Kit, K-I-T, right. Like that, and then people...
Yeah, forget it.
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying. Zach Archuleta is here with a question. I want your opinion on my opinion regarding game key cards. Oh. I thought it was a good idea. I am not a collector for collector's sake. I have bought a mix of physical and digital cards, mostly based on which was on sale. I sometimes have bought the digital games because I did not want to be bothered with making sure I have the game card with me or switching it. As I have become more minimalist, I will purposely cycle out games once I'm done with them. Having a game key card allows me to give the game away to a family member or to sell it back to the game store, then removing the digital clutter from my game list, or even to just turn it to a donation center. What are your thoughts about the fact that game key cards actually make sharing the game temporarily or permanently better? It's not good for collectors, I get it, but some of us just play games and move on.
It's a very, kind of balanced way of looking at this in a, this is my life scenario.
A non-hysterical way
exactly.
of thinking like, about game key cards.
It's a very reasonable, this is how I consume games and this is how I live my life around this, and if you have a physical thing that you can pass down to somebody else and that's how you're doing it, like you're not using it to collect a true physical copy, like I don't see anything wrong with that.
We're never escaping the discourse
the
around game key cards.
I think
we're going the whole generation. That poor man who's making the Final Fantasy remakes, who is on this perpetual never-ending press tour where he is forced to justify game key cards, and he has an extremely legitimate reason where it's like the memory street is not fast enough and this game is 100 gigs. What should I do?
Yeah.
And every
week, giving another solution.
Every week he's going out and he's like, you know, please reconsider, but maybe somebody out there can open up their heart and eliminate the hate for a game key card, and that gets people all worked up again.
Do you think he snapped a pencil when he saw Nintendo's video about game key cards? the complete disregard of reality in which they thought that people just didn't know what a game key card
was. They just extended his press tour by another month after that.
And he was just like,
no, I can't believe it.
He turned his computer on and he was just like, oh.
No, it is interesting how people can removed from the discourse, they can like, oh, I didn't even know this was a thing. I was just kind of
just living my life.
I'm just living my life. I'm just interacting with this in a way that works for me. And then there's like this whole, it's like, all right, you guys do that. And I'm just going to slowly back away from
it. It's like the Simpsons meme where you go into the bushes.
Right. Yeah. I have a shocking revelation.
You are buying a game key
card. That I would like to share here. I am actually buying the game key card of Final Fantasy VII. I don't care. And I have the other Final Fantasy remake games, physical. Listen, I've heard it all. I don't care. I'm buying it. I like that game. I want to have it physical. I appreciate all the other little bells and whistles that they are throwing in there. It is, I think, at a reasonable price. Again, I don't care. Thank you very much.
The press tour got to you.
What pressure?
You have sympathy for that guy on the press tour.
I really do. He needs to get back to work, honestly.
You're going to buy the game key card to support his emotional damage.
He's like, oh yeah, we're working on the third game. It's like, are you really? You're not there. You're never there.
You've been talking about game key cards for literally 6 months.
You need to get back to work. So, again, it's like I see them as an inferior thing. But there are times where it's like, sure, like I will have some irrational reason. And I get it. It's an irrational reason. Like I could get that game digital. No reason. Maybe Square Enix will even send it to us. It doesn't matter. It's like I just want to have that. And listen, I have a big picture. So I had this surgery on my finger. I went for about a month and a half without being able to play a game with two hands. And there were a lot of things that I couldn't do it. I had some perspective. It's like, look, life's too short to be caught up in dumb game key card nonsense.
Wow.
If you want it, get it. If you don't. I don't care anymore.
A life lesson.
Yes.
From reality.
I don't care.
The human body is fragile.
Right. And I
play your games how you want.
I'm not trying to change anybody's mind, but I do think like some of the more extreme takes get a bit strange where it's like, oh, it's a game key card. I'm just boycotting this game, period. It's like,
weird, yeah.
That's going a bit too far.
It's definitely going,
that's going a bit too far. It's like, just buy it digital then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, but you're just selling yourself short. When you do something like that, like you're definitely selling yours. If you're like, I'm gonna boy, it's like fine. Then you're just like not gonna have this great experience.
Right.
Like,
and again, I repeat to the take I've had. If you are concerned about what's gonna happen in 30 years, please consider other things in your life that may be happening in 30 years and start planning accordingly.
Everyone, look at your retirement plan.
Please start planning
accordingly
for everything that is going to happen 30 years, not just a game key card being valid or not.
That's true.
Please.
Your livelihood.
Yes.
May depend on other things, but yeah, I think this is a completely reasonable way to live your life. So your opinion is quite valid.
Yes, we're never escaping this though. No. Wario Tush has a question. Have you ever heard of this podcast coming up in the meetings at Nintendo or of them in any way exploring ways to shut it down?
Shut it down.
Oh no. Well,
shut me down.
Well, we certainly know that it's a hot topic for reports.
Yes, very hot.
Perpetually a popular topic of reports.
I have heard that sometimes several meetings have happened.
Yes.
Because of our podcast.
We have heard that sometimes this podcast has caused them to think about things they are doing in a different way.
Correct.
They may have gotten some good information from a podcast.
Or bad information.
Or bad information.
Information that angered them so much that they were like, no, we're going to do it another way.
All right. Or
it's like, oh, we didn't think about this.
Exactly.
I literally have heard many scoopy insider things like that, which is funny.
I mean, we've heard it all. We've heard like there are people who really don't like this and are upset that you're doing it. We know there are people who do listen to this regularly. We have people in our Patreon who are at Nintendo they've like tried to protect their identity because God forbid you be seen as a listener of the Kit and Krista podcast. You'd be expelled from the hive mind. All of the bases.
The Boar Collective.
Yes, all of the bases are covered.
They don't want this. But yes, yeah. I don't think there is like, you know, we have to like rally to shut them down, but they're certainly watching us still, I think, very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Yes, yes. As far as shutting them down, I don't think they can.
They truly cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
unless we like.
Again, there are things
that we'll never talk about.
That we have that we will simply not talk about because they are not appropriate for the public.
Yes, exactly.
And we understand that.
Yeah.
And I think as long as we understand that, we're going to be fine.
Yeah. Maybe during like a swan song episode. I'm 98 years old.
Yes.
I'm on the Titanic.
On the oft-requested After Hours episode.
I'm about to throw the heart of the ocean
when Krista's gotten
into
a little tipsy. That's when I'm going to have to pull the plug, like dive to pull the cord out of a
wall.
You'll
be dead.
And one more thing.
This is going to be like the 10,000th episode where I'm literally about to like croak.
There we go.
And that will be, we'll tell that, finally we'll tell those stories.
Deathbed, thoughts from the deathbed.
Yeah, thoughts from the deathbed. I'm playing Persona 5 on one hand, and then I'm telling you the final stories.
All right, we're getting into the home stretch here. We got two more questions. Let's hear from James Richards. First time asker, long time listener.
Oh,
that.
Hello.
You may have been asked this before, but here we go. During your time at Nintendo, what would you say was your favorite game or experience that you were fortunate to have shown off to the Nintendo community?
Oh, there's so many options. Gosh. I think Mario Odyssey will have to be mine, because not only did I have the great privilege of being able to work on that game in like the height of excitement for the Switch launch year, we also did so many things for that game that was so different than what we normally do for a launch. And so it was cool. It's like, it was a lot of moments working on that game was like the pinch me moments. It was like, wow, I can't believe I'm at like in New York City at a dance studio watching a bunch of flash mob dancers rehearse Jump Up Superstar. Mm-hmm. Like, what a crazy moment. Or like, I can't believe that we wrapped this trailer with all this stuff and it's going across the country and we have this like, you know, world famous photographer taking photos that look incredible for this launch. Like, there were so many of those moments where it just felt very, like, pinch-me moments. So, yeah, I think that one will forever be my favorite that I've worked on.
I have very fond feelings of the first Zelda Symphony concert, the 25th anniversary.
Yes, so good.
That was really one of the moments, like, where you saw the vision of, like, all right, Nintendo can be more than just a video game, and you saw like how well it translated to that medium. Like, you saw just like the fanatical response from the people who were there. You saw
the emotional response.
You saw how it touched Mr. Aonuma and Mr. Kondo, who were there. It's like, that was a really special time and a special moment, and a special thing to just be a part of as that was happening for the very first time.
Yeah, that was so cool. Like, I think that moment where we saw the marquee at the Pantages Theater, like, all lit up with all the Zelda stuff. We're like, oh, wow, this is a wow moment.
Right.
You know, it truly felt like a special moment.
Right. And now that sort of, you know, gaming concert is very old hat. It's very routine. Like, so many franchises have got that. And some of them, like, you're like, I can't. There's not one memorable song in that franchise.
I know,
but sure, why not?
I think we saw some ad for like one of these concerts, and you're like, I cannot even name one song in the series. I was like, oh, okay,
but why
never
not?
Mind then.
But it was a starting point, and it was an incredible one.
It was really.
Yes. Matt GPT has our last question before our secret final question. How do you recommend getting into public relations? Oh. I'm currently doing a degree in marketing and would love to do PR work in the games industry. How do you recommend getting your foot in the door?
Yeah, it's so interesting because PR has changed so much.
The changing media landscape?
The media landscape, though, is so different. And just the work itself, you know, like back in the day, it was a bit more formulaic, I would say, in terms of what you're doing as a public relations person. You know, you have to have very strong writing skills. You have to be very connected to, you know, you have to be very relationship-minded with media and other you know, other people in the industry. But nowadays, it's like the mixing of content creators with media, the shrinking of media. You know, you just hear so much about like doing PR is before you maybe needed like 5 really good skills to do PR. Now you need like 35 really good skills to do PR. So I think one of the things to just like continue to hone yourself is like just try to keep, it's really hard, but try to keep on top of the changing media landscape. Like, be really plugged in into how people are getting their news, how people are sharing news, like that kind of stuff. Like, follow like every social media account, be like so well versed in how, you know, how society is getting their information. You know, that's a really hard job to do and it's always changing, but that's like the thing that you have to do now. And I think the other thing is like start to build your relationships as early as possible, because building a relationship takes a long time. Like, you just can't be like overnight, like, now you're my best friend and you're going to cover my game for me or whatever. You need to build trust with people, get out there, meet people without any expectation that they're going to do something for you. Like, talk to people in a normal way where you're not like, hey, I need you to do like 10 things for me. No, just like get to know them as people, you know, and then later on, maybe you can ask them to do a thing or two for you. All of that stuff takes time. So I would just get started now.
Yes, I agree. And public relations exists in this, you know, function you just call communications.
Yes.
So like there's other jobs that are being, you know, influencer relations or content creators or, you know, however people want to call that, or social marketing. And there's a lot of different riffs or takes on that. Like, I'd say those kind of make up that communications discipline. So like, even if PR is the one that you're most interested in, like, look at all of those, because they're all very connected.
Interrelated.
And I'd say just look at any gaming marketing function, because it is a hard time for jobs, specifically in gaming. So, you know, you may just need to get your foot in the door, mm-hmm. and it may not be what your end goal is,
yeah.
but, you know, it's a starting point. You can learn, you can start to get some foundations in the industry and go from there.
Yeah, the industry is small, too. You know, we had a meeting recently where you were reconnected with someone.
Somebody I met on literally my first day ever working in the industry.
And now.
Still working together.
Still, and it was like, yeah. years later.
Yes.
He was like, oh my gosh, I knew, you know, we were talking during our meeting. You're like, I knew Kit. He used to do these things for me. And I was like, wow.
He was knee-high to a whippersnapper.
But it's like, yeah, like, you never know who you're going to meet
yeah.
in the industry. And it's a small industry. Mm-hmm. So start to build those relationships
yes.
early, you know? Yeah.
Thank you to everybody who sent
in
the
questions.
These are great questions. We have, like Thanksgiving, we have a lot of leftovers.
Oh.
So if you ask a question that didn't get picked, you might see it in a future episode. Maybe
yes.
it'll end up in a bonus Q&A.
Yes.
We have a lot in our fridge, which is a great segue to our secret last question, which I want to ask you since it's Thanksgiving. Pick four items for your ideal Thanksgiving plate. What are only four?
Oh.
You can have only four. What are you picking?
Well, definitely the turkey.
Some people would say I don't need turkey.
Oh, I need turkey.
Okay.
I need turkey.
You need turkey.
Can turkey and gravy be one item?
I'm going to say that gravy is an accessory, so it does not count as an item.
Okay. So then, yes.
Turkey with gravy.
I like my turkey like drenched in the gravy. I'm really
yep.
just eating gravy.
Mm-hmm.
I need a receptacle for gravy.
Yeah.
I'm going to say mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Stuffing, but my mom's version, which
is
an Asian, like a Chinese version.
Tell me about that.
Which is sticky rice,
oh.
shiitake mushrooms, and Chinese sausages.
So it's not bread. There's no bread.
No bread. The bread is replaced by rice.
Is it cooked in the turkey?
No.
No. Okay. Huh.
But we do use some turkey drippings.
Bring some of that.
It's really good. And I think there's peas in it, too. There's peas.
Yes.
Anyways, that's really good.
Okay.
And then four.
Last item.
I do like a veggie,
like
a green bean with the French onion thing on top.
Yeah.
Or like a roasted Brussels sprout
delicious.
Is really good.
Absolutely delicious.
I need a veg, you know?
Okay. So one of those.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion on the sweet potato with the marshmallows
oh,
and
I
stuff?
I love sweet potatoes.
But with all that stuff.
I like it. But I know you don't like...
I'm not a super fan of that.
I know. You don't like really like super sweet, savory dishes.
There are some sweet potatoes. I think it's just the marshmallow.
Oh, I love the marshmallow. That's the best part.
This is going too far.
No, it isn't.
So those are your four items. Okay.
And then cranberry sauce is an accessory, right?
Sure. What are you putting that on?
I just have it on the plate.
That just goes over all over everything.
No,
Got it.
I need it like as a little palate cleanser.
All right. Those are your four. So I'm going turkey with gravy as well, but I'm
yeah.
going with a smoked turkey.
I like a smoked turkey.
To give myself some flavor.
Yes, I love a smoked turkey.
I want stuffing as well, but it must be stuffing inside of the turkey. And I know these days that's like slightly, like, oh my gosh, that you're going to get food poisoning.
What? You are? It's baked in an oven.
Well, if you don't cook it enough, then you got...
How's that possible? You've got to bake that turkey for like 4 hours.
But... I've been to a lot of Thanksgivings where it's like, oh, we have this small amount that was in the turkey, and then I've got, you know, trays and trays of this. It's
always not the same.
The stuff that's outside of it's barely worth eating. So if it's not in there, if it's not in there, I don't want it. So I want the one that's inside the turkey.
Yeah.
I want a potato, but I'm going with scalloped or au gratin. What is the difference between scalloped potato and au gratin potato? What exactly is the difference? Because they sell, like, if you get the one in the box, like the Betty Crocker, they have different ones that say that. But you're looking at it, it's like, this is the same thing. What?
Just sliced potato baked with a...
Yes, with some cream and cheese.
Cream and cheese,
That's delicious. So that's my choice for potato. You had a big miss on your plate, and it's pie. So my fourth item is pie.
Oh, I want pie.
Well, you're not getting it.
I don't want Brussels sprouts. I want pie.
You're not getting it. So.
Oh, no.
I have been having some pumpkin pies lately.
Yes.
I'm going to go with either that or a pecan.
A pecan.
For Thanksgiving.
Or one of each.
I think are my preferred Thanksgiving pies.
I have to make pumpkin pie again this year. It's my job every year.
Yeah.
I like my job. Yeah. Simple. I make mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie.
All right. It's a
good
fun
stuff.
Thing. That's a fun thing to leave a comment if
it's
you got
delicious.
You got Thanksgiving
what is
takes.
Your, yes. What is your? Yeah. And I guess other countries don't celebrate Thanksgiving. And I did meet some people that were from the UK and they were like fascinated by Thanksgiving.
Or there's the Canadian Thanksgiving that happens before. I don't,
Boxing Day?
I don't know what.
Is that what
no,
that is?
No, it's Canadian Thanksgiving. I don't know what the food situation is.
Do you eat turkey for Canadian Thanksgiving?
Is it different or what? I don't know.
I don't know.
Surely there's a Canadian who can inform us.
Inform us.
I'd love
to
know.
And like, if you're from another country, do you think Thanksgiving is weird? Or are you interested in the food? Because the people that I met from the UK were like, why do you guys eat this? I'm so curious. And they were confused by it. They liked it, but they were like, why?
Well, they're chewing on a jelly deal.
Yum.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
That is all of the questions.
Thanks for the questions.
Thank you again for everybody who sent those in. Again, these came from our Patreon subscribers. Check us out at patreon.com/kitandkrista. The stuff we mentioned at the top, the Metroid Prime 4 spoiler cast, that's exclusively on Patreon. We talked about bonus Q&As. That's exclusively on Patreon.
We got gameplay videos too.
Gameplay video. The Game of the Year podcast. You want to hear that before anybody else? Get that on Patreon.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All that.
All the good stuff. We're on the socials. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Blue Sky, and Threads.
Yes. And if you're watching this on YouTube, we'd love it if you could subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and leave us a comment with your Thanksgiving takes or otherwise.
Yes, please.
And if you're listening to this on audio, you can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else. Give the podcast a 5-star rating and leave a written review if you really want to go the extra mile. Thank you.
Do it. Go the extra mile.
Yes.
Let's wish happy Thanksgiving to some of our wonderful Patreon subscribers, starting with Final Boss, Aaron Hash.
We don't know Aaron Hash's preferred Thanksgiving plate.
No.
I think we have some recon.
What I do know is what Aaron Hash voted for the TGAs. He shared his votes with us.
That was shared in confidence. Do not leak.
I'm not going to say what they are.
Do not leak the votes now.
I'm not going to say what they are. I'm just saying that I know them.
You said that in a threatening way, and I don't
what?
Like it.
What? Superstars. Mara Mahan.
Eigenverse.
Mike Chin.
Right Eschke.
VGM Live.
Link the Hero of Winds.
Angela Bycroft.
Thomas O'Rourke.
Kyle LaBeouf.
Andrew Juhas.
Chili.
Crushuri.
Master Discord.
Travis Torline.
Echo Ladere.
MSM Poke Gamer.
R. Burns.
Kit10K.
Adrian.
Nathan Clover.
And the Shark Among Men. And here come the One Up Club, A. Ron Burgundy.
Ad Cool 2000.
Age 1000.
Ayn Evelith.
Ali Alejandro.
Alejandro Orozco Borrego.
Andrew Lobo.
Andy Robinson.
Angelate.
Anthony Keir.
Aristu.
Astrodev.
Awesome 46.
Bino.
Barnstorm.
Bates.
Berserker.
Big and Gamer with a Y.
Bob Klefkin.
Brandon Kavapal.
Brent Dennison.
Brian Decker.
Brovac Novak.
Cashew.
Cedric Benson.
Shadir.
Kelly Squirrel.
Chris Fisher.
Crispy Saurus.
Christopher Lay.
Chunky Conga.
Colleen Finnegan.
Cosmic Titan 718.
Captain Alex.
Sea Roper 17.
Cynical Squid.
Dog DeLeo.
Dally Dinkum.
Dachson.
Debbie P.
Dinkum and Bubblegum.
And Doinko.
Dre.
Dude Dad Life.
Eccentric Tony.
Elite Peach.
Sbarts 50.
Fairbound.
Fernie and Just Forever.
Fox Deploy.
Funky Hand.
Gamer Likes Anime.
Gamer Nerd 78.
Garth the Wolf.
Gartooth.
Jeremy.
Jin Wolf.
Guilty Phoenix 42.
Hey Yo Jose.
Ira Bell.
Iris Marin.
It's Your Boy J-Hove.
Ivan Zito.
Jay Rando.
Jameson Eisenberg.
James.
Jason Ball 34.
J-Bar.
Joe Encarnacion.
Jonathan Rowe.
John Conboy.
Jordan Hemmerly.
Joseph Gunter.
Joshua Clements.
Juji Fruit.
Justin Leminger.
Jay Wolf.
Callan CPU 57.
Kawa 2796.
Kevin Delane.
Kilo Kibo.
Cal Gamer Barry Rookie.
Kyle325.
Kyle Kretzer.
Kyle R. Smith.
Lazy Cat for Coffee.
Leah Rell.
Lex.
Link9898.
Linko.
Legend.
Luke Hayabusa Kramer.
Luna B.
Lynn.
Matcha Potato.
Mad Dog 5981.
Magnificent Easy G plus Callie Marie.
Mario Man 392.
Marky Man 64.
Matt GPT.
Maverick Nate.
Megan.
May plus Leon.
Michael Mazer.
Michael O'Hara.
Michael Wong.
Mikey.
Mr. Ryan 07.
Mojimania.
Mr. Andy Pong.
Mr. Beans and Dip.
Mr. Bendu 101.
My Tran.
Nasir.
Naif E.
Nigbia Reeves.
Nasuchu.
Ninbendo 64.
Ninja 11.
Oliver Went.
Omega Index Card.
Pangy.
Paper Boat.
Patrice Millette.
Hoggyo Network.
PokeDigiFan 20.
Prime Factor.
Prince Charmless.
Prof Clive.
Punky.
Rain Tech.
Rob M.
Rob O.
Robbie DLC.
Ronsky 113.
Rocks.
Ryan Haas.
Ryanetta.
Sage Gamer.
Salkin 20XX.
Scott Seward.
Sebastiano Garasse.
Sega.
Sharif Jackson.
Shimbrew.
Shiny Elizabeth.
Slowbro.
Shump.
Schnozzle.
Spacey Poo.
Spicy Munchkin.
Star Fox Melancholy.
Steven Rockoff.
Stuart Radley.
Pseudo Priest.
Switching It Up Underscore.
Tales of Link.
Tamer Rhymes with Hammer.
Tandem.
Tay 120 and 64.
TCG N21P.
Teal Fox 64.
The Kagers.
The Quiet One.
The Sir OT.
Thomas Alvarez.
Three Rivers.
Token 777.
Torcheeks.
Totally Joed.
Totemaru.
Trajawi.
Trevor Collins.
Tugs Puppy Bear.
Tuscoop.
Tyler Geis.
Victor MK.
Vidge Mictor.
Vinny to the K.
Viridian.
Virtual Ba.
Waffles.
WG Grizzy.
Wicked Davey.
Zachary S.
Zelgroth.
Zapatty.
Zero Link.
That's right.
As I'm frantically looking to see how many of these start with O after the terrible things you said about the letter O.
There's not that many.
L?
Omega Index M- Card.
Oh. Rookie. Oh. Omega Index Card may not be here next week.
That's not his real name. His name is not Omega
Index. He chose this.
But his given...
Zip it!
His legal name is not going to be Omega Index Card.
Yes, it's Kid.
It's
Kid.
It's Kristen with a C-H-R-I-S-T-A. Yeah.
G.
Anyways, we're going to go eat some Thanksgiving food. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're an RIA, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.